true freedom comes from within.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Sovereign States of Mind podcast. I'm Jordan Erbs. I'm happy to have you along on the ride as we explore what it means to practice sovereignty. It is a concept that can be discovered and observed in many different ways. In this show, we just like to cover all the possible different conversations to discuss what it means to take responsibility over ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and to be able to witness when we have unconscious programming where we're just being some kind of robot doing what our government or someone else told us. This show is brought to you by Kapi Hawaii, Kapi Vine Microdosing Lozenges. If you're familiar with the brew from the Amazon, Kapi Vine is one of the fundamental components. It is completely non-psychoactive. It creates a lot of space around that moment where we can choose to respond or to react, to really claim sovereignty over our consciousness. KapiHawaii.com. Use promo code Jordan for 15% off your first package of microdosing lozenges and build your relationship with this plant ally, the Kapi Vine. It's really powerful. It's really amazing. Completely non-psychoactive. You stay totally functional. I normally give some to my guests, the interviews I do in person, and they always enjoy them quite a bit. If you're interested in getting started with a plant ally that's not going to take you too far away from your base consciousness so you can get stuff done, the Kapi Vine microdosing lozenges, KapiHawaii.com. Use promo code Jordan. Get started today. There is a lot to learn from this episode, so I would say if you're interested in bringing these points home, check out sovereignstatesofmind.com. There's a blog post on this episode. You can read through it. You can see more of the points in detail. And you can also sign up to the newsletter, Sovereign States of Mind, where you'll get bi-weekly updates on both the podcast and my personal journey to sovereignty. So as you follow along in the podcast, you can see how I'm trying to apply these lessons in my own life. Without further ado, let's get started.
You're listening to Sovereign States of Mind.
What is sovereignty, Nick?
It's truly finding your true self and being able to live from that core and living with your purpose. First and foremost, it's letting go and uncovering all the bullshit that's piled on you from the get-go, telling you that you need to fall in line, you need to be like everybody else, you need to get a good job, you need to just go out and be responsible and just do the, and of course being responsible is important, but if you're unhappy with what you're doing and it's just a dead end. The only way to truly be sovereign is to figure out a way to make an income doing things that you love doing. First and foremost, though, you got to do what's necessary. So do what's necessary first.
Creator sovereignty, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we're all here today, actually. And we decided to do a podcast instead of learn because the energy was so right. And it's all about content creation. That's what it all boils down to when you got a message to share, when you're turning your passion into income. It's all about content. Stefano, what is sovereignty?
Sovereignty is about choice. Sovereignty is about coming into choice. About remembering you have a choice, about understanding you have more than one or two or even three options. Sovereignty is about using who you are as a beinghood to create in life, to create the life that you want to. And tapping into what you can control, noticing, listening. Remembering, yeah.
The ultimate choice is within all of us. I think that is like, if we're to boil down any definition of sovereignty, it's like the ultimate choice. What do I choose today to feel, to think, to do?
Yeah. Yeah. What we expose ourselves to. What we expose ourselves to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our consciousness itself. Cool.
And sovereignty, I would say, a lot of times it's, you're thinking that, all right, it's me taking care of myself, not having to rely on anyone else.
Yeah.
But in order to obtain true sovereignty, truly realizing that you can't do anything amazing by yourself, you need support. You need that, you know, container and people that love and support. And if you're doing things with the right heart and with good intentions, everything else will fall into place and you'll have a lot of love and support. But Yeah, I just wanted to hit on that because sovereignty, a lot of times we think that, okay, that's just personal sovereignty. I don't need to lean on anybody else. I don't need anybody else. I can do it all on my own. And a lot of times that'll hold us back if we're not actually willing to ask for help and actually, you know, have that humility to be like, all right, I've done everything I can at the moment, but hey, I need a little bit of support from some friends, family, whatever that may be. I mean, my book's a perfect example. I wouldn't be able to have done everything I'm doing. I wouldn't be able to do the podcast tour that I'm doing if I didn't have people that loved and supported me.
It's the power of community.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tweeted about this recently. It's like, just because you're practicing personal sovereignty, you believe in it, doesn't mean there's no, I mean, you need sovereignty in the individual in order to have a healthy community. Mm-hmm. Because then everyone can properly function together. Everyone can work together, collaborate. You have healthy boundaries, you know, where you end and the world begins. And that's where we can really thrive. So yeah, I actually had someone in our community refuse to be a guest because he doesn't believe in sovereignty. He believes in community. And I thought, well, what a great conversation that would be, because it's a very valid way of looking at it. I think the collective, the community spirit is super important. Right. And there's a really important distinction to be made between practicing ownership and responsibility of yourself and then bringing that into the community. And because community is not easy.
Community is not easy. Community is not easy. We are, I grew up as an American, and there is a whole world of community that I know about. If you go to the Middle East, people's, or Northern Africa, yeah, other places where there are really strong senses of community, your partner isn't fully your choice. The community is taking that into account. Your sexuality isn't really your own. It's an expression of the community as well. And it's a big jump. It's a big jump a lot of people to make. And this is true for men and women, as I experienced and have learned. As we interact with other people, right? Other people are really just, right, projections and reflections of ourselves. And sometimes in order to bridge the gap of becoming a team player, where I totally agree with Nick, is where so much of the gold is, being able to collaborate and be with other people in life's contribution and celebration and work and all the facets and feeling that, that you're able to identify parts in yourself, parts in others, have that compassion, be able to hold it, be able to lead in that consciousness. What a sovereign act. And once again, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of, emotional maturity, psychological development, to identify your inner parts and to be able to get them all in alignment, right? Because we have multitudes inside us, right? We contain multitudes, and we have all these different personalities. We have the lazy guy, we have the ambitious guy, we have or gal or human being or alien. We have all these parts of us, and really to come into peace and appreciation and order, love, harmony, acceptance, also just shrewdness and awareness is going to be essential to inner sovereignty, external sovereignty, learning to work together. Yeah, for sure.
Hear, hear. Amen, brother.
Yes.
So you have a big day coming up.
Big day.
Big day.
Huge day. This is what my whole entire life has been leading up to.
Okay, I've
been
that's working, a big statement.
Oh, man. Been working on this book for almost 5 years. I started writing it at the beginning of 2018. That was when I still had a 17.3-pound NBA basketball-sized tumor in my body.
Whoa.
I didn't know I had the tumor at that time. I believe that tumor was manifested through going through a lot of family stress, which you'll read about in my book and I've mentioned on another podcast. But here it is. It's been a long time coming. When I first started writing the book, I knew I had to tell my story. I knew people could benefit from my vulnerability and helping them feel more comfortable in their own skins, because we're all human. We all do fucked up things. We all hurt people. We all are so infinitely complex. And a lot of us have so much shame and guilt that, oh my God, I can't let anybody see these parts of me or can't tell about these things that I did because nobody will understand. Nobody will get it. And I'm hoping that my story really helps you realize that, oh my God, like we're all human. You know, we all do weird stuff. We all, you know, struggle with things. And if I can help people feel more comfortable about themselves and feel a little bit better about things that have happened in their past, have a little bit more self-forgiveness, then, you know, I'm living out my mission. And, you know, when I first started writing it, it was just the story. You know, I just knew I needed to tell my story. And then I got some good feedback that, hey, all you need to do is a little bit of tweaks and this becomes a really powerful self-help book. And that's what I did. So at the end of each chapter, there are at least two reflection questions to help the reader be able to allow them to really look back into their life. Like, all right, I just read this, you know, really heavy story, a really, you know, vulnerable story that he shared. Man, now I feel more comfortable to actually dig deep into my experiences. Because once you actually can hear someone or read about someone's story and they're talking about things that, you know, you would never want to tell anyone, it creates a sense of connection and it really creates empathy. It creates forgiveness and it really just opens up the door for more healing to happen because we can't heal these things unless we can actually look at them. And I'm just hoping that the way that I bring about the stories and first and foremost, reading my vulnerable story and then reflecting will open readers up. And that's what I've gotten from many people that have read it. They're like, you know, once I get through with the chapter, I'm ready to answer those questions because you just opened yourself up so fully to me. So, I have a desire in my heart to really make a positive impact on the world as a whole. And I can't do it alone. Me writing the book is the first step, but I need people to share my story. I need people to write Amazon reviews. If you buy a book or you already read the book, share it with a friend, give it away. I don't care. I'm not concerned about my finances. Of course, like I've been getting in debt to make all this happen, but personally, I know that the universe is going to take care of me because I'm doing things with pure intentions, with a pure heart. And to all you people out there that are still in that trying to figure out what you're doing, I'm a firm believer that if you're really focusing on doing things with a pure heart and good intentions, that I'm really trying to do something positive in this world, it might take till you're 40 to figure out what that is. Like I'm about to turn 39. You know, it took a long time to get to this, but if you're doing things with pure intentions and the right heart and really trying to do a positive impact on the world and you're willing to go through the hard stuff, I repeated this quote last time I was here, but I'll say it again because it's such an important quote. It's a quote by Francis of Assisi. First, start by doing what's necessary. Then do what's possible. And suddenly you're doing the impossible. So again, you can't just like jump. Okay, I'm just going to leap from my heart and everything's going to take care of itself. It's going to be easy and because I have a pure heart and I'm doing the right thing. It's not that easy. You're going to go through some bumps in the road. You're going to have some confusion, struggles, but just try to always remind yourself the most important thing that you can do in the world is to train the voice in your head to be more positive, to continually remind yourself that you're doing great, that everything's working out, the universe has your back. Because when you change that voice in your head, the outside world will adapt to what that inner dialogue is. And again, it's not like you just start magically, everything's going to turn out perfect once you start talking nice to yourself in your head. It is a long process. The amount of thank yous and I love yous I say on a daily basis to myself is easily 100 of each. Like right when I wake up, every step to the bathroom, I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I'm doing it all day long. So the little things make a big difference. But my point is it all starts with the inner you. If you want to find happiness and truth and really try to do positive things, it starts with the voice in your head. And you've got to believe in yourself. And again, that's all that voice in the head. You know, if you can really understand and truly own the fact that you are here for a reason, divinity is the reason why you're here. It's your true nature. It's our job just to take off all the shit that's been piled on us from a young age, beating us down, that we just need to fall in line. We need to get a good job, make money, and just get married. Just do all the A, B, C, and D. That's a life. And there's so many people that live that life and don't have a fulfilling life. And I'm just passionate about really bringing new earth to life. And
we've got a baby in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen. Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicholas Jordan Moore. So you are harnessing the power of storytelling to invoke vulnerability that is inherent in all of us, and especially in perhaps an audience that isn't quite comfortable or accustomed to opening up their hearts and being vulnerable to maybe the truths of their past, or the truth of their present, of our present, of the things that we may hide from ourselves, maybe because of or due in part to the mindsets we carry with us that are very self-limiting, which is a term I've been using around here. And they keep us from just observing like basic facts that will help us grow. Mm-hmm. So that's your message here. What I'm hearing is that this is all captured in your book, and the spirit of you believing in yourself enough to, you're 39 years old and you finally figured it out. That's the journey that's shared in this book. And that's what I love about storytelling, is once you're reading a book, like it's a good story, like you relate to the character. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of fiction, fantasy, and because I love the characters, you know, and I'll read books again just because I want to have a relationship with that fictional character again.
Wow. Yes, it's true.
And then it'll, you know, makes me think of things. I mean, obviously there's probably not as much intention in a science fiction novel, but you have a lot of intention packed into your book. I've read it. I can vouch for that. It's a great book. I couldn't put it down. That's the truth. I could not put it down. And it's not because I had like super similar, I had some similarities in my upbringing, but not a lot, but because I had a relationship with you in that book. I'm following along. I'm feeling what you're feeling. I'm going through what you're going through. So great, man.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for you in this next chapter in your life.
Yeah. The way we learn best as humans is through storytelling. I read a book a long time ago, called The Power to Change Anything. I wish I knew the author. But that book, he uses an example. I can't remember what country it was, but there was some country in, you know, South America or wherever it may be. And it was in their culture that, hey, if you kidnap that guy's daughter and you rape her, she's has to marry you.
That's Italy.
Okay. Well, I think it was in some South American country. I could be wrong, but it was just like a thing, and it was happening a lot. And it was just kind of, you know, that's unwritten rules. Yeah, it's not great, but that's just the way it is. And everybody's okay with it. And the way that they changed that culture is they actually came out with a TV series. And it was like, it happened over like a 3-month period. Like every week a show would come out. And originally at the beginning, there's this character who's a male, and you know, he does that. And like, at first, the people are kind of relating to him. They're like, yeah, I can relate to that guy. And then as the story continues, you start to see this guy's kind of a piece of shit. And like, and it changed the entire culture to start actually having conversations. Mm-hmm. The way that we can truly change things and cultures is to actually talk about them. And to really, I mean, the stories are the way that we learn best. And that's what, you know, my purpose in telling my story is to help people learn through the storytelling.
I love that about opening up the conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's the key. And yep. Stories do that. Movies, yep. Series,
yep.
Like anything we can really get involved with. And that happens on the other spectrum too, on the, you know, conditioning and kind of social mm-hmm. programming scale. But if we can transform the way we're, you know, consuming media mm-hmm. in order to touch on these topics and have the conversation, that's the new paradigm.
Mm-hmm. And I hear pervasively from Steve Jobs, even before Pixar, he said the storyteller is the most powerful person in the room. And then David Chappelle would speak about how in the tribes of Africa, there would be a storyteller. And he was a very respectable person. And when that person passed away, it was like a whole library was passing with them. Of course, there was one that was being trained and taught in the ways of storytelling up into that point. Mm. And even in learning, right, background in science, they keep returning back to like, okay, you see these graphs and numbers. Is there a way that you can make it into a story?
Turn it into a story so you can remember it.
Right?
It's crazy arbitrary. So
synthesis, right? Synthesis percentage to be turned into a story, yes, right? And so, over and over and over again, right? It's all the media we find, all that we capture, we need it. I used to kind of scoff at that word need, but I really believe we hunger for it and we need it in order to make sense of the world. One shout out that I'd like to do is just to state that I'm going to be I'm going to be writing an Amazon review for Nick. I'm going to put an appreciation of the story because it is so powerful. I'm also gonna write, an affirmation that I say to myself, and I'm gonna put a lot of intention in it, and I'm gonna put it out there. In my experience, the more I lift people up, the more I get lifted. Like it, just in the past 2 weeks, so many things have clicked, and I see it in my coaches. I see it in my teachers, all kinds of things. We got some beautiful white noise in the background for you all.
More and more.
and so I'm going to invite everyone into that, into, you know, writing a review, taking a little bit of time to invest in this beautiful person here. But to also invest in yourself, to invest in the philosophy, into the belief, into the whole world, and just take some time for you. And even though it's on Amazon, even though it's commercial, this is not strictly commercial. This is something. This is an art form. This is a beautiful story from this man's heart being shared. I am so grateful these words are being spoken. I love the story so sincerely. I'm so grateful I know this man personally. And yeah, I'm going to put so much intention into it, and I invite everyone else to just be aware of the opportunity here before you, because Nick has been working on this for a long time, and all his past selves up until this moment. I'm just so glad I get to be sharing this moment with all of you, with him. And then Jordan hosting for creation, right? For creation. I'm just really loving this moment, to be in the crux of creation with these two men and supporting this man. Life is good. If you're listening to this, I love you, and I really wish you the best. I really wish you the best. Yeah. It's happening, right? It's really happening right in front of my eyes.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel that too. But short of turning this into a circle jerk for the audience to run away from.
Thanks, Stefano.
It would be a beautiful circle jerk. No, this is why I love.
And I just want to say, no, I was tapping into that same idea earlier. I love how, yo, I'm launching a book. Let's get 100 fucking reviews on Amazon. And we're all like, fuck yeah. It's like, we all have the capacity to build our own little armies now with building a community online. And yeah, it's feeding the algorithms. It's what you're saying about Amazon. It's like, but whatever. If this is the passion driving you, this is going to be the fuel for this new chapter in your life. And it's like, yeah, let's fucking do it. And I've been always scared of like even putting myself out there for that. And it's been recently until we all came into the fold together where I'm like, no, fuck that. I'm doing it. And I've started to do it. And you start to feel that fire, you know, and then we throw more sticks in that fire. It burns brighter until suddenly you're up in flames, baby. I don't know where that metaphor leads. That's beautiful.
It's hot.
It's hot.
Up and out. Oh. Up in flames, baby.
And Jordan, you know, the one thing I was going to say is, you know, sharing is important. The reason why I have so much support on my online following and just, you know, friends and people around me is because I've been doing so much for so long without asking for anything. Like, right. I've just been doing it purely for the intention that, hey, I want to set an example on how to love yourself, on how to not give a shit about what people think, have fun in the mirror, be goofy, and, you know, just spread as much love and compassion and forgiveness as I possibly could. So yeah, if you're doing, again, I'll say it again, if you're doing everything with the right heart, the right intentions, and again, I did not write this book to make a boatload of money, but if you're doing things with a pure heart and pure intention, the universe will come back and reward you for that.
I wanted to chime in on that. Yeah.
And one quick thing on that, on the money situation, I think it's important that, you know, people from my high school, I'm just assuming that they have, at least they used to have this perception of me that, man, you know, Nick's good looking dude. He makes good grades. He's good at football. Like, man, that guy's just got it all. That guy's just, you know, his life's perfect.
Big man on campus.
Yeah. And, you know, then I got a finance degree from a private university. Like, I was a certified financial planner. Like, I have all these credentials. And reading my story, you're going to read that, man, I've never really had my shit together.
Like, you sold used cars after that.
Yeah. Right? I was spending more money than I was making. I'd made a bad decision getting married. I mean, all the decisions are perfect. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. But I think reading about all those struggles, and especially in the financial world, which so many of us, you know, struggle with, and it creates a lot of stress in the life.
Finances.
Right. Yeah. So I think that part of my story, and really just being able to read and see how I was just staying positive throughout it all. I mean, there was a time where I did not have a cell phone because I didn't have enough money for a cell phone. I didn't have a car. I was literally living at my friend's ranch and I didn't have shit.
Sounds pretty nice. I was
eating mushrooms, just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't want to get a job.
Yeah. So it's like, where does this idea of perfection even come from?
Yeah.
It's like society shoves it down our throat that this is how things are. Mm-hmm. And if you're put together, you have an easy time with money.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, it's maybe an easy time with the money energy, but maybe not money itself, but that's because it's beyond easy or hard. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you and I share this whole, like, we're following our passion and we don't care how much debt it takes to get there. And some people would be like, that's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. You know, you live within your means. We're like, well, this is it. This is it. But I'm comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And so are you. It's like, what is that energy you're wielding that can be transduced into money when it needs to be, versus what is you perceiving a scarce reality?
Mm. Yeah.
It only takes one person to believe in you, but it's got to be you.
I like that a lot. Yeah. In all my coaching, I've learned fortune favors the bold.
Yo-ho.
And if you have yourself on your side, if you're doing your affirmations, if you're getting that auto-suggestion from the subconscious supporting you, what an amazing ally.
I'm sorry. I like that a lot. The auto-suggest from the unconscious.
Yes. There's another thing. I have a hardcore inner perfectionist, like super hardcore. And I learned that perfection, French term, just means up to standard, meets all standards. And it's like it's a manufacturing terminology that has eventually made its way into the language. And so whenever I find myself being a perfectionist, I'm like, oh, I don't know what my standards are right now. And it's actually like a little quick mental reverb loop I put in my head is like, I just keep building on my standards and whoa, Stefano, stop doing that, bro. Just a little side note on that, but
hang on. Etymologically speaking, French major here, parfait by fact.
Yes.
So it's like, it's even almost beyond standard. It's like the fact of you, right? When we're applying it to ourselves, it's essentially completely relative.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So also a lesson from the copy vine was, was, okay, Stefano, get up and dance and feel the perfection of your movement. And I was like, oh, because there's this inner thing that was so hungry and yearning for myself. And then when I finally get into moving, I'm like, oh, that's so perfect. And just a little side note on perfect, that the layers of the internal world and the external world and where our hearts are in those moments. And then it just goes back to ultimately doubling down on yourself, trusting yourself, believing in yourself, getting yourself as your number one believer.
Let's dive into that from practical applications, like believing in yourself. Like, what does that mean? And there's, you know, I'm all over Twitter lately. So I got every coach, every entrepreneur guy, oh, just quit making excuses. Like, everyone's doing the whole thing and everyone's got their spiel. And I love it because sometimes it works. Other times I have to unfollow you. But what does believing in yourself mean? Well, obviously it's about like, what is failure? Does failure even exist? And then when it does exist, what is actually taking hold of your consciousness? Are you practicing sovereignty when you're experiencing failure? Because really, there's no such thing as perfection beyond your perceived standards of reality, which is probably conditioned by the civilization you live in, or the people you spend your time with. But who are you? What is that? Like, I've been writing this thing lately where it's like, for us to understand what practicing sovereignty means, you have to shed identity, belief systems. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of them forever. We have to shed them for a while and just see who you are. It's like when you're like serial monogamous, you're always in relationships and like you're never single. And like, who am I? Like, I'm always in a relationship. Like, wait a minute. I need some time to just see who the hell I am.
Yeah.
And like come back. So that's my analogy there, because I know some people have some relation to that. But when it comes to working on a project, believing in ourselves, this is what I want to dive into. Believing in ourselves, trusting ourselves, allowing that intuition to take the wheel. That's fucking hard, because we will experience moments of failure, and it's hard like in the journey, like when we're like putting our all into something, and maybe subconsciously and depending on our relationship with auto suggest, we kind of know but we ignore it. I can't tell you how many businesses projects I've put my whole life force behind, knowing there's no strategy, no goals. It just feels good to do it. It looks good superficially. All these media projects into nothing. And that's hard. But deep down, I knew the whole time. And I never wanted to acknowledge, like, you need to have a strategy. You got to have goals. You got to, you know, values were easy. Integrity was easy. But like, where are you going with this? What's the business model, Jordan?
Exactly. Exactly. Taking that time ready to do exactly what you're saying. For me, it's almost a scary experience, but dance with the fear, get with it, and really sit down and to ask myself the big questions. And usually it's that little activation energy, that little hump of energy that it's the hardest. But when I go over that, when I do it, I'm not always good, but I'm great. I'm not always doing it, but I'm good. But when I do it, it's just a big open release, and it lasts weeks and months where I sit down, I look at my month, I write down in my journal what's going on with me, and I collect the inner world, the external world, and I make a map of my life and really craft and engineer my work, the ways that I want to rejuvenate and relax, the ways that I want to create magic moments with my family, with other people. And now this is like another level for me to repeatedly come into contact with the energy of the inner creator, of the inner sovereign that wants to create. And it, Jordan, it's tough for me. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not a natural, like, oh, let's go do this. Even though this is my life, it's not easy. But when I do it, and I make sure I do it when it needs to get done, when I do it, it's life-changing. It's a life-changing experience, and my whole body's energy is different. I'm vibrating. I'm thriving in my body. Emotional maturity is slowly growing through me like golden branches, like very slowly over days, over weeks. And it's this very, very exquisite experience.
Stefano, that was absolutely beautiful and poetic. And
that's my jam. Well, that's what I do.
Because this is the Creator Sovereignty cohort, technically speaking, and we're the ones that showed up today. Dude, that's your message. That's Stefano Corto. Everything you just laid out, those are actionable ways to gain more sovereignty over life, to start mapping out your reality here and see what you want. Put the game pieces together.
Thank you, Jordan.
I can just imagine all the tweets from that little highlight clip we're going to make. And this is part of the workflow. You transcribe, so you just riff it, whether you're with people or not. I take walks in the morning and I just talk to my phone. The other day was 40 minutes. And then I upload it to an AI that transcribes it. Different AI can make summaries for me or an outline. And then like I'm turning one of them into an ebook. Other ones I pull from, make tweets. That's like this way to make content that's like straight from the heart. Because what else can be more from the heart when it comes to sharing to other human beings? Because you have to remove the purity of this thing you're feeling by turning it into words. But what else could be more from the heart than speaking it? Yes. Your voice.
That's true.
So that was actually beautiful. It was totally amazing.
Thank you. What you're saying is value straight. Value straight.
I agree. With Jordan, that was amazing, Stefano. Appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
And the circle jerk continues.
So speaking about failure, what came up for me is that failure is only a thing if one of two things don't happen. Either you stop trying or you didn't learn something. If either one of those two things happen, it's not failure.
Either you stop trying or you didn't learn something.
If you stopped trying, but you learned something, great. You know, just like with all the different.
You learned that this wasn't worth your time. Yeah. It's not going anywhere.
but if you stop putting yourself out there, if you stop going into the arena, if you stop trying something new, well, then, yeah, you're not going to have the chance to fail, but you're also not going to have the chance to learn anything. The more you are actually able to put yourself in the arena and put yourself out there and be vulnerable, the more you're opening yourself up to more deeper understanding of who you are and more understanding of the world around you. Because the more you can actually put yourself out into the world and see what actually comes back, you're learning about yourself and you're learning about the world around you.
Totally.
So yeah, failure, if you stop trying, that's a lot of people, and it's very, very sad, get beaten down by life, beaten down by whatever it is. And, you know, they just, all right, I'm not taking risk anymore. I'm just going to stay in this easy path and I may not be very happy, but you know, my life's okay, you know, and they just never start to actually push themselves and put themselves out there. If you really want to grow, you have to be willing to put yourself in uncomfortable situations, do things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable
or a lot,
right? You know, there's that balance, because if you just jump all the way in, then you might get a little overwhelmed and it could backfire. So understanding your personal boundaries and your, you know, the amount of anxiety that you can hold or whatever it may be, baby steps are important, but as long as you're taking steps, that's all that matters. The voice in the head, I cannot express this enough. I can't say it enough. Because when you do go through setbacks, if you're following your dream, you're trying to figure out your purpose, you are going to have failures. Again, it's only a failure if you stop trying or you don't learn anything. But you will not continue to try unless you have the voice in your head that tells you that divinity is your truest nature. I was told that by my teacher named Banzai in an email, and I was really looking for some guidance. I was struggling. This was when I was at my friend's ranch and I just didn't want to get a job. I was broke and just like family's broken. I'm like, what the fuck is the point? Like, I don't want to go out and get a regular job. Like, that doesn't, like, what the, this is pointless. I don't want to do anything. But I got some really, really wise words from my teacher named Banzai, and you got to be willing to do the things that are necessary first. And if you don't believe in yourself, then none of it matters. If you continually remind yourself that, hey, divinity is my true nature. Divinity is my true nature. I'm here for a reason. I may not know exactly what that means yet, but I'm just going to keep on showing up, and I'm going to keep on working on that voice in my head. Because if the voice in your head is positive, everything else becomes so much easier. Life's going to continue to happen. Shit's going to happen. Things are not going to go your way. It's just part of life. It's how it is. But if you have that voice in your head that's pissed off, that's mad at the world, you're going to have a negative effect on everything around your life. Like, something bad goes wrong in your life, then you're just going to be pissed off all day, and that energy is going to spread to people around you. So literally, your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. It's not just overnight. These things take practice. But when you do run into bumps of the road, failures, the most important thing is reminding yourself that, hey, I'm here for a reason. Divinity is my true nature. What did I learn from that? Did I learn something from it? If you learn something from it, that's a success. That's not a failure. So just always having that spin that you can put on every situation. You can spin everything into a positive. The most terrible things in the world that happen, something good will come from it. And if you can try to see all the world that way, then the world starts, you know, reacting in different ways. So,
Nick, there is a, to your left, you could turn the light on. There's a dial. That'll probably help with our video quality right now. A little bit, I guess.
Bright light, man.
Yeah. It's the freedom to choose. Again, it's all the freedom to choose. Like, this could be the most, and look, here we are, a bunch of white guys, you know, with food and everything we need. So it's like, we're dealing with topics that are not necessarily common in the world as a whole. You know, our base needs are met. So when we have these conversations, like, it's a different style of freedom that we're talking about. Right.
And that, Jordan, you have a great point that I think that everyone, it's another reminder that, you know, if you are living in not a third world country, if you are living in the US or the Europe, you know, whatever, really just understanding and really taking that in perspective, that how lucky you actually are to just have a roof over your head, to not be freezing to death, to not be starving to death, to not be a slave, to not be in war.
Yeah.
We have so much to be grateful for. So if you're feeling down and things aren't going your way or whatever it is, like, all these little things that you can remind yourself that, man, I'm really freaking lucky.
Yeah.
Like, we got as the bad as it gets, still. you're still really freaking lucky. So,
and that's part of spinning it, right? Yeah, spinning, and it's like, in my experience traveling, most of the people that have problems are just Westerners like us. Yep. People like, you know, in West Africa and Ivory Coast. So these people had nothing, living in shacks with no walls. They would eat and everything. They would grow cassava and this and that. But like, as far as like my culture is concerned, these people had nothing. I'd never seen such big smiles and happy people and laughter, belly laughter, just from a, you know, just hanging out with the family. And like, makes you think, right? And like, I was in India, and a friend of mine, she's like lower middle class, and she's like, yes. And I was staying at her house, and literally I shared a bed with her brother, like, and who just had a baby, and his wife was like living like, and like, it's all like a house smaller than my tiny house here. The whole family's living in there, and they bring me in and I get a bed. And my friend is like, oh yeah, the people that I was being all sensitive, right? Like, oh, I need space sometimes and whatever. And she was like, yeah, the only people I know that ever have those sensitivities are people that grew up with their own room and with everything they needed. But we don't complain.
Right.
There's not even a concept for it.
The expectation.
It's pure. It's, and I want to argue, it's pure gratitude.
Right.
And you're just grateful for what you have by default.
Yeah. To learn that gratitude, to learn that gratitude. Back to believing in yourself. When I do got a practice going on and I am on the upkeep and I'm keeping that in front of me, that constant reassurance, like you're doing a great job, babe. You just, Stefano, you're doing such a great job.
I love that you call yourself babe.
I call myself babe. That's great. I highly recommend it to everybody. But yeah, great job. Like great. That was outstanding. And like, maybe like it didn't leave an outward impact of whatever, but I got the job done. Great. And then the next thing, and then the next thing. But when I do experience needs not met on a higher level, and I still have myself on my side, I already have like coming up inside, even though I have some hard feelings happening inside me, I have myself on my side. And he's like, you're doing a great job, babe. Inside, and you have some frowny faces around me. And then the impact of the perceived failure at first is highly diminished. And because you don't believe in it so much, it starts to affect other people around you, and it's easier to move on. It's absolutely true. I'm really grateful you said that today, Nick. Was one of the best investments in yourself is getting yourself on your team, because yeah, it affects you, which affects everybody. So, just another tip of the hat to that. That's awesome. can you demonstrate that
one? Inappropriate hand motion here.
But yeah, so something very interesting is I'm gonna share something kind of private. Is my mom, she grew up in Colombia in the 1950s, and she had ready 11 sisters and 2 brothers. And they lived on a farm. And even though it was Colombia, the laws were very strange. And sometimes they didn't eat. And she tells me all the time, is like one of the worst feelings is not knowing if you're going to eat tomorrow. Doesn't matter if you ate that day or not, that apprehension of not knowing if you're going to eat tomorrow. And then she actually came to America on scholarship when she was really young, but that was like a life changer for her. It's just the awareness that yes, I'm going to eat tomorrow. Ooh. And that was like a game changer for her. And one of the weirdest qualms she had is, you know, why a lot of Americans were kind of upset. That she like, it took her a while to really understand that. And then this goes back even one more time to Pune, and even to right now, the people in Maui, is when the lava's coming and you don't know if your house is going to be there on the other side, that uncertainty, right? That uncertainty is, am I going to stay here? The capacity to build the world like this starts to dwindle, starts to pass through your hands like grains of sand. And all you're left is with yourself. And it's in those moments where to have faith, to believe in yourself, and to really make sure you direct your energy inward. Like that, I was like, oh, that's the definition of Pune strong. So shout out to all my Pune people. That is a major strength. That is a major strength. And it's totally a gateway into sovereignty for sure. For sure.
I'm really appreciating this space, guys. This is an epic show, live from Pune. I mean, I just get so inspired every time we're a group coming together doing this. It feels awesome. Okay, I keep trying to come back to this. Following your heart. So it's like with your intuition, you know you're doing the right thing, yet at times it feels like everything's going wrong. And it's like, especially like certain days, right? Like this newsletter post I'm writing right now is about this. Like these self-limiting mindsets come creeping back in, like I'm thriving, everything's great. And then there's some slow days, or maybe my physical health goes off a little bit. And then I start to perceive things like, oh man, I'm not really like developing this brand as well as I thought, or it's not happening fast enough, or this, oh, I'm not as good as that person doing it. And like, I start to just like notice those creep in, like, and I have to stop and observe, and I have to choose like, no, you're doing the work. Just do the work and it'll take care of itself. You have the strategy, you have the intention, you have the skill. It's all there. Just do the fucking work. That's the only thing that's ever been missing in my life. Like the strategy to do the work. And it's happening now. And so like, this is a new stage for me to follow my, following my intuition. I followed my intuition before, right? And I did it because I learned these lessons. And it was hard sometimes to say, I have to stop because I learned something. This was a failure in a good way, right? Like, it's over and I have to move on.
You learned something, so it wasn't a failure.
Right, exactly. But like, as far as me putting all my energy into this, right, like, you're wasting time, you're wasting money. Like, you got a family to support. Like, you got to make some serious decisions. So here I am with the podcast. But yeah, so when you're feeling it and you know it's right, like, that's good. Especially if like maybe you're in your 20s, because that's the path that takes you to learning things. And sorry, you got to learn shit in this life, or else you're never going to get there. And if you think you're already there, you're not, because it's life. It's going to happen forever until you're dead.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes that one of my bosses told me when I was in financial planning was, either you're green and growing or you're ripe and dying. Mm. Either you're green and growing or you're ripe and dying.
You're ripe and going to be eaten soon.
Yeah. I've written this book and I have a lot to share with the world. I have a lot to teach, but I know that I still have a lot more to learn. And if I'm not here learning and trying to continually grow and better myself, then again, I'm ripe and dying. And that's, you know, not the path to take. So, and Jordan, you know, you were speaking about following your heart. You know, that's what is incredibly important in finding your purpose in life. But like you said, you know, you go through your 20s, 30s, whatever. You might be 60 before you really find your thing, or like what your big thing that you were going to do. And maybe it's not a big thing. Maybe it's just a bunch of little things. Maybe it's just the impact that you have on 100 different people over the next 50 years. These small little interactions that you have with people can make a big difference. So the point that I wanted to bring up is that as you are trying to find, you know, what your purpose is, you're just living from your heart. You're like, all right, I really want to do good things in the world. I want to make a positive difference. Well, what can you control right now? You can always control how you're treating other people, and you can start to work on that voice in your head, because the nicer you are to yourself in your head, the nicer you are to yourself in the mirror, the nicer and better you're going to be to everyone that you come in contact with. So don't think that, okay, I haven't found my thing. I'm trying to live from my heart and I'm not really making a difference. I'm not doing anything. Like, Nick, that dude's publishing a book. He's doing this big thing. Like, why can't I find my thing? Well, don't worry about any of that. All that matters is what is in front of you today. You can impact what's going through your head. You can continually remind yourself that, hey, I'm doing great. I have a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And then every person that you come in contact with, just be, all right, I know that I want to have a positive impact on the world. How do you have a positive impact on the world? Well, it's by having a positive impact on people. So don't look at that, in order for me to make a difference, I need to impact the entire world all at one time. If you impact one person's day in a positive way, that is phenomenal. And if you come into contact with multiple people and you're positive and you're just an up-spirited person, that just ripples out, and that effect literally will spread. So don't limit yourself. Don't think that you're small just because you're not doing something big, because every single little interaction that you have makes a difference.
I want to speak to figuring your thing out, because this has been my main thing. Literally, it's become my thing. And it's why we're here today. It's what I want to announce in 2 weeks. The next Creator Sovereignty cohort is starting. Starting a brand is, I believe, the best way to figure out your thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a new way of looking at it. Like, there's this paradigm of the 2010s where you got to have a niche and you got to be the one guy that, you know, that only talks about this thing, and, you know, that all his products are based on that. Now it's about authenticity. Mm-hmm. It's about being you. It's about building a brand with you. There's still techniques to market. And yes, you still have to find topics, and there's strategies here, but starting a brand, even if you have no idea where it's going to go, what your products are going to be, anything, this is the way into the future. This is the way, like content creation, generating attention, harnessing that attention and turning it into leads, having an email newsletter, whatever it is, even if you're not planning on like diving all in, getting the foundations up is number one. And then you start putting stuff out there just when you're feeling inspired. It's like, you don't even have to do it every day. When you're ready to do it, you do it every day. But when you're not, you learn the foundations and you start just seeing what catches. You put out quantity, quantity, quantity. And then you see where the signal is. You hone in on, it's all just noise. And you say, oh, people like that. Oh, a lot of likes on that one. Oh, they like it when my shirt's not off, like whatever. Then you start to see what your audience wants from you. And then you play into that. And then you start building an audience. And then soon you're asking them, hey, what problems do you have that I can help you solve? Mm-hmm. Like, you're following me. Like, why? It's literally like this relationship you build. It's not about just being this static brand. Mm-hmm. Buy these things. No, it's like, I'm a real person. Mm-hmm. I have all the things that make me real. I'm not an AI. I am this person that has vulnerabilities, that has authenticity inside me. I'm sharing myself. I'm sharing my story. So if you want to figure out your thing, I would say start a brand. And if you want to join the Creator Sovereignty cohort to work on these little skills, the fundamentals to start figuring out your brand, check it out at creatorsovereignty.com. Starts in 2 weeks.
Totally agree with that. Jordan has a lot of knowledge and skills to be able to help with that. Something I just want to hit on is that authenticity is what we're talking about. That's how you truly gain an audience. And that's how people truly connect with you, is if you're real. Well, authenticity is messy. That is very, very important to understand that. All right, I'm just going to start creating my brand and it's all just going to be smooth and I'm going to do this and this. Well, if you really want to be real, shit, you got to show all the messy stuff too and be real about what's not going right. And if you're really wanting to connect with people, don't put on a front. And if you're trying to find yourself, if you're trying to find your purpose, the more of the front that you're trying to put on and trying to like say that, hey, this is who I am, but then you're not really putting the messy stuff out there, well, then people aren't going to really connect with you and you're not actually nourishing yourself. You're not giving that inner child the love that it needs, because that inner child just wants to share everything and just wants to be like, this is who I am. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, this is, yeah, shit's not going right. This is hard. Like, whatever it may be, own the messiness, and because messiness is being human.
And the art is in polishing it, refining the messiness for audiences.
And just be willing to know that, all right, this is going to change over time. I'm going to continue to learn. But if I'm not putting myself out there and really just being vulnerable, then you'll never really learn anything about yourself.
Yeah, there's a difference between, ironing your suit and taking pain pills. Just
very big difference.
Very big difference. That part of that messiness is, right, we don't want to allow ourselves to feel or be associated with these deeper, uglier, unclear expressions of ourselves, right? And the answer isn't to take a pain pill. The answer is maybe to, you know, just iron out your suit and do what you need to do, right? Do what is necessary to show up. And do what is possible. Do the expressions of yourself. We have so many different parts of ourselves. But just to highlight that's part of the messiness. And I really agree. I've definitely struggled with that. Not wanting to be the guy that wears, you know, an Afro unicorn, personality every single time I'm on camera, because I'm not going to want to do that in 10 years. I might get a bunch of attention, but I'm not going to want to be that guy in 10 years.
The right? Afro unicorn guy. That's the first time I've ever heard of this guy.
I have an inner Afro unicorn guy. No, it might be a messy expression to build yourself up into this extreme sense of self. But usually the ones that have lasting power, right? are the personality, are the emotional states that you find at home. And it might seem ugly. It might seem messy. Try it. Just try it. Find out. And and if you're ever scared, just remember it's kind of like dating. Like, it's gonna seem scary. Like, the other person's probably nervous too. And it's when you realize that there's like, oh, I can try different things out. I can experiment. And that it's very different than when you're working with someone that's on pain pills. I don't know if you've ever had that interaction. Like, it's sad. It's beautiful. Everyone's in their own experience, in their own journey, and that's fine. But just to take that reflection in of like, oh, that's right. There's this place that I don't necessarily need to go. That all these parts are accepted. And that I can move forward and present them. And so putting that aside, I just want to also say that, like, this experience with Jordan and with Nick and being part of this Creative Sovereignty class, right? What would you call it? Cohort?
We call it cohort. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of this cohort is it's great. As you saw just before, Jordan saw something that I didn't. He saw that I have an inner message and I've been working with it, and he just picked it up.
Dude, right? It was so good. And it wasn't necessarily the message. It was about you have the tools and the exercises to share.
Right. The place to speak here openly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The friendship for and knowledge set, and just having, as we said before, other people in our lives to really help us out. It's not just the classes. It isn't. It's a self-discovery process. It's a tool learning process, but it's also a platform in and of itself. It isn't some, you know, click and get item. This is an experience. And I highly encourage anyone who's on the fence to invest in yourself and try it out for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just interrupted a testimonial.
Who's got skills?
I think that's a good segue into our sponsor. Let's talk about our sponsor. So Stefano and I did a huge episode yesterday about the product, the CopyVine, which these are these lozenges from here on the Big Island in Hawaii, and they're made of the CopyVine. Maybe you've heard of it from a mystical brew down in the Amazon, but the CopyVine supports the regulation of your inner functions and processes, which I would love Stefano to shine a little bit of light on. But I just want to say, kapihawaii.com, use promo code Jordan for a 50% discount. This stuff brings you into this state of presence and awareness where that choice to choose, it feels like big space. This is the language I came up with after our episode yesterday.
Yeah.
That space to choose. Sometimes we are like so overwhelmed by a trigger, we don't choose and we react.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like some messy thing. Other times we're like, oh, I'm not triggered. And it's an easy response. Other times we catch ourselves in the middle and we recognize like, which way am I going to go?
Growth edge. Yeah. Choice point.
And this stuff makes me feel like that space to teeter. There's like more time, isn't it? It's not time and it's not actual physical space. It's like consciousness. There's more awareness of what's actually happening. And I think it speaks to what you were saying yesterday about how it regulates your neurotransmitters going on.
I took one before we started the day and I feel incredibly clear and on point. So
yeah. It's kind of a hard thing to describe, but
it's so hard to describe because it's so subtle.
I don't know if you saw it, but when Nick was recalling his experience, his eyes twinkled and his voice kind of dropped and got gentle. And I was like, that's it right there. It's that like gentle clarity, like bing. So bing. just a little bit about that.
Thanks for noticing my eyes.
I think it takes the edge off some of these like imperfections in our like highest character. that we know that we have, and we just deal with them. We don't judge ourselves, of course, but it's like, you know, I like drugs, I like coffee, medicines. I like weed, yeah, medicines, whatever. But this stuff helps me be more aware of like this kind of like craving of like, hey, is this really going to be a tool for me right now? Or is it just like routine? And I mean, the opposite side of this is that these taste like candy. So I'm like, you know, kind of reaching them for like candy. So, no, it's cool. I won't smoke weed because I'm having a lozenge. But yeah, I feel like it brings this, like the language is what we've got to work on creating here for it. But yeah, it brings this awareness up to surface.
Yeah. It tastes really good because there's organic, locally grown Rilinia in it that we scoop out, and it creates the texture and the sweetness, and it's really awesome. I'm really proud of the recipe.
Incredibly high quality ingredients. Incredible.
Yeah. And the kapi vine is a, if you don't know the history of this plant, like it has a relationship with humans for tens of thousands of years.
It's used to brew ayahuasca, just so y'all know. That's one of the active ingredients in ayahuasca. It's not the psychedelic active ingredient. It's not the DMT portion. But it's the, is it an AOI inhibitor or is it a MAOI? Okay, MAOI.
MAOI
inhibitor type A. These are completely non-psychoactive. So when you hear ayahuasca, you might think, well, this is the main vine of the brew.
Right.
It's not the psychoactive part. You will not get high. You will not think anything. You'll feel something, I guess, if feeling is the right word, because it kind of transcends physical being and kind of just has you there with your relationship with consciousness.
Mental clarity, it really helps with, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just a future highlight is we're thinking about doling out. Yeah. We're thinking about doling out meditations to be coupled with the product.
Cool.
But also maybe a little bit of coaching and to kind of create, we're going to try and make it really affordable, but to create like a calendar and maybe a little bit of one-on-one time with one of our health certified coaches, and to really just talk about that and to really segue you into a relationship, right? A relationship, a non-impairing, gentle, life-supporting relationship with a plant ally. For sure.
And I think the exercises that you practice on your own that you intend to share, it's like the perfect complementary activities for this plant ally.
Yeah, for sure.
And in some cases, like I have a lot of those types of activities in my life already.
Right.
I would love to try this reality mapping thing, though. I haven't exactly tried that in the same way that I visualized it when you were explaining it. But I do have those activities in my life. So I can recognize these subtle profound effects of the lozenges with that practice. But if you're someone that like feels the calling and you're not sure where to begin, dude, what a great idea. Offer meditations and there's a fun, great package.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, because I'm sitting here thinking about what my product really is with you. Right.
Yeah.
This is
it
big.
Comes from you.
Well, it comes from
it's
me.
It's not really the kapi vine. That's your another product.
Well, right. The what's interesting is the kapi vine helps me reflect on me, right? And then I'm also interacting with you, and Nick, and other people doing big things in life, and giving me tools and making me ask myself questions. So yes, it is all coming from me, but it's also coming from the environment that I create. And I think kapi is a great way to prime a particular type of internal environment and to help you really feel and reconnect to what's happening inside. But just again, to highlight that, like, I'm part of this cohort and I'm thinking about things and it's working for me and I'm dedicated. I'm working on believing in myself step by step and I grow. I stay green and I grow.
And that's what creator sovereignty is.
Doing great. We're doing so great.
I got to say, like, yeah, I was thinking about it this morning. Like, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm feeling shame bringing it up, but I have trouble lately just getting into a savasana after my yoga practice in the morning, just like shutting everything down for 10 minutes. I'm having trouble. I am so fucking stoked on life lately.
You know what that tells you?
What? It
means that you should probably do it. Extra few minutes of shavasana.
Yeah, well, like, so I can just lay there.
It's telling you, like, I know, because, like, and I'd do the same thing. Like, it's harder for me to sit down and meditate for a full 20 minutes if I like have so many things I want to do.
And you're excited.
Yeah.
Because I want to go live.
But, you know, Gandhi is really interesting the way that he went about this. So he would meditate for, I think, at least an hour a day. But if he had a really busy day, if he had like tons of shit going on, he would meditate for 2 hours instead.
Oh, yeah.
It was the exact opposite. It's like, all right, you got a bunch of stuff to do.
Makes sense.
Take more time to meditate because everything becomes more easeful if you're centered.
I feel
easier decisions, more clear. It's more straight cut. But
that's why I want to live by the beach because there are days where I know everything's so heavy. I go spend hours down there just because so I can clear my head. That's like what I need to regulate.
That's why I love getting on that rock out there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But what I wanted to say is this stuff's in my head all the time and I'm busy consuming it all day. I'm like on social media all day. Like I'm just learning. And I'm just like, this is a revolution in the spirit of like collaboration. Like the human consciousness around the world, everyone's sharing their techniques for like generating more attention, turning it into a business. Hey, turn yourself into an income machine. What more beautiful outlook on life could we imagine if the whole world is just filled with people with their, they are their own business and they own their audience. Doesn't have to be millions of people. And you're offering what you've learned in this life, your experience, you've learned to package it. You've learned what the exact message is and you sell that to people that are so stoked to receive it because they love you. Like this is that era right now. So I'm figuring out like, how do I condense all this knowledge and just like pass it on? I want everyone to start doing this. It's so powerful. This is it.
And you know, we still need people to work at the sandwich shop, you know,
you can do both.
And yeah, exactly. But I just want to make sure that the audience isn't thinking that, all right, in order for me to live my purpose, I have to be a business owner or I have to be a brand. You can live in your purpose and just work at a vape shop all your life. If that's what, you know, I'm not saying that that's your dream or that's what literally somebody's purpose is, but I'm just saying don't have any judgment around yourself, not thinking that you should be doing something bigger. Going back to the effect that you have on people, that's where it makes the biggest impact. Like if you're living from your heart and you're really trying to do positive things in the world, do with what it is in front of you. Don't worry. A quote that I love by Jim Carrey, he said that he was trying to go out into the world and be something bigger than himself until someone smarter than himself told him that there is nothing bigger than himself. So don't try to go be something bigger than what you are. Know that the entire universe is inside of you. Infinity is inside of you. Infinite possibilities exist. What's most important is what you're doing in the moment, and how you're treating yourself and how you're treating others. You don't have to be a brand or be a business owner in order to be living in your purpose. Living in your purpose could simply being the best mom that you can be and whatever that may be. We all have different. Yeah,
that space might not exist.
You know, we all have different purposes in life, but judging yourself and comparing yourself is the way to for sure have way more suffering than needed. You know, suffering is inevitable in life, but if you're comparing yourself and you're judging yourself and you're trying to, you know, think that you need to be something more than you are, it's really putting a detriment on what your true capacity and your true nature is, which your nature is divinity.
I don't want to conflate like accepting our purpose and accepting ourselves with what I'm talking about, starting to explore.
No. Brand. And a lot of us have this feeling that, I know that I want to do something. There's thing I've been wanting to do or have this idea. And that's what this cohort is really about. Like if you have something or if you're still trying to figure it out, but you just kind of have this inner knowing that I think there's something I want to create, you know, there's lots of reasons. And even if you don't end up creating a brand, this going through this process is going to challenge you. It's going to push you out of your comfort zone a little bit and you're going to grow and you're going to learn. Lot of awesome skills that you can learn, and maybe you don't really realize what your brand is or what your purpose is until 5 years later. But then, hey, I remember I did that cohort, Sovereignty cohort with with but, Jordan and learned a lot. Now I have these skills. So
I'm not talking about the cohort.
Yeah.
I will unapologetically say everyone should start a brand. Shit is going down in this world, economically speaking. Like the age of like, look, why did I start a brand? I couldn't find a job with my skills that could pace. I mean, my wife was going to go get a job at the school teaching yoga and Spanish. It wasn't going to be enough to cover the gas to get there for this part-time little job. Like there are realities that we have to face, and the media will say, oh, the economy and politics. That's not it. We're entering a new era where we might not have a choice. I could be wrong, obviously. This is very early, but I will unapologetically say, if you're even listening to this and you haven't shut it off yet, starting a brand is one of the most important decisions you can make for your future. It doesn't mean you're jumping in. It doesn't mean you're trying to be a big celebrity. It doesn't mean any of that.
Right.
And it doesn't erase the fact that you got to go through shit and you got to accept who you are. You got to be vulnerable, but it offers you the exercises to do all that and to find purpose. And it has to do with connecting with the world around you. And you can do it in an infinite manner because you're connected to the whole world when you're on Twitter.
And Jordan, I can't agree with you enough that all of us have the ability and have the capacity to start a brand. And the only way that you can believe in yourself that you're supposed to have a brand or you're supposed to do this is if you actually believe that you have something to offer people. That, hey, and we all have something to offer. And that I think that's Jordan's point.
And when you get to that stage of believing it in yourself, then you're ready.
Because whatever your life is, you've gone through suffering, you've gone through challenges. There are a shit ton of people out there. You may think that you're alone. You may think that, no, my life's just weird. I had these things. The human experience is infinitely confusing. Yeah. And so many people can relate to so much weird stuff. Like there is so much like really embarrassing weird stuff that I've written about.
I can't wait for everyone to read your book, man. Wait for the internet's reaction to your book. It's going to be amazing.
Thanks. But yeah, you realize that you're just human. But if you don't believe that your suffering or your learning actually has value, then change that dialogue in your head, because all suffering has lessons, and everybody can teach somebody something. Like there's something in your life that you've been through that will significantly help someone if you're willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there and actually talk about what it was. Maybe you had an abortion a few years ago and it was something that whatever that situation was, and you write about it and you thought that, you know, your situation was different, and then somebody reads that and it just really opens their heart, makes them feel so much better about themselves. They were depressed as shit before, they were suicidal because they were had so much shame and guilt about them aborting that baby, whatever it is. And you may save somebody's life with just a simple post because you were able to be vulnerable and be real. So thinking that you don't have anything to offer is the voice in the head that you need to turn off. We all have something to offer. We all have gifts, and we all have struggles that we can talk about and truly help somebody that's going through the same thing. So
a voice we got to say goodbye to. Yeah. Thanks for joining me up until this point. Goodbye.
I'm thinking of multiple things said in the past. I'm hearing, like, you know, with AI, 3 years from now, life is going to be very different. 5 years from now, it's going to be very different. A bunch of job replacement, robots, la, 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 la. And at the same time, I'm hearing another timeline of, like, most people overestimate what they can do in a year, underestimate what they can do in 10.
Interesting.
And I'm just like, oh, that's right. So here's the choice point, and it's where do you want to commit? Where do you want to prioritize? Where do you want to be? And what I'm hearing from Jordan is, go for it. Capitalize on yourself. Invest in yourself. Create something. Create you. Build you. And when he said that, I remember somebody, they saw me working, right? And I just like went into this place to grab something and left. And then somebody just kind of noticed me and they said, wow, there's no, something about the whole set of circumstances and me walking in, I don't know really, but I overheard them say something like, wow, there's no spiritual development practice like starting your own business. I think I said something along the lines of like, oh, maybe I walked in and they said, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm growing. I'm appreciating myself. Like I'm scared, but you know what? I did XYZ and you know what? That's better than yesterday. And he heard that and he's like, wow. And then he said that. He's like, wow, there's no practice quite like the self-development of what it takes to become and to start a business. And I'm going to add that to the space is like, by building a business, by building a brand, really you're building yourself. You're building what you can create. You're building a systematic framework for learning what your contribution is and to be able to really pragmatically apply it in the world. Being able to turn a dream into reality. And these are all tools that we're working with. And that's what I'm hearing Jordan speak. Where are you speaking from?
I love that.
Yeah, there's a quote. I've been throwing out some quotes today, so I'm going to share another one of my favorite quotes. But it's a Martin Luther King quote. It's my favorite one of his, but it's, faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And that's a lot about what this is, just believing in yourself that you may not know what it's going to turn into or what your specific, unique offering is really going to be.
Yeah.
But hey, I believe in myself. I know that divinity is my true nature. So I'm just going to start putting myself out there and I'm start believing myself and I'm going to, you know, whatever this is, I don't know what exactly it's going to turn into business wise, but I'm just going to start really putting myself out there because the only way we can really help the world around us and help ourselves is by believing in ourselves and putting ourselves out there. The more we put ourselves out there, the more of that internally you're doing the work, even if it's not really feeling like you're kind of pushing against yourself that like, man, I don't really believe, but I'm just doing it. Well, the more you just keep doing it, the easier and the more in alignment it feels. Man, when I first started doing these self-love videos, it's really easy now. Like just press record and whatever the hell.
The first time I saw them, I cringed. Because it was my own reaction to myself.
I totally, it makes 100% sense. And I know that a lot of people kind of feel uncomfortable with it. Like just can't handle it. But when I first started doing it, it was not easy. Like that is not an easy thing to do. Cause you're like, I've never seen anybody do this. I'm just like,
he stands in front of a mirror and says, I love you.
Press record, tell myself how beautiful I am and how much I love myself and how awesome I am. And I'll do it like a girl. I'll do it with accents, just whatever. but putting yourself out there and not really knowing, like the more I did that, the stronger I got, the more I believed in myself. And it was just
And that's the power of content creation too. I just want to say because when you're doing content creation and you committed, you're doing whatever, you're doing the work. Yeah. And when you're focused and committed on something like anything, not just content creation, you do that work and there's no space for these other mindsets to hold you back. You're just doing it. Mm-hmm. And you start to feel really fulfilled by it.
Don't think, act. That was a quote from my calling people days when I used to have to make at least or try to make at least like 40 phone calls a day when I was in financial planning. But you don't think like, if I go in the mirror and I'm trying to like think about too much of what I'm going to do, just don't worry about it. Just press record. Everything's fine. You know, just believe in yourself. Hey, you're perfect. Whatever happens, great. Like, don't worry about it.
It trains that muscle.
Yeah.
It trains that muscle. It trains yourself to believe in yourself. And when you dive in,
people think, really not giving a shit what other people think is so powerful.
Right. And that goes back to, you know, values, the value of investing in yourself, the value of finding out. And learning for yourself. Yeah. 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 There's a thing. Oh man. There's a thing that I overheard my friend do. He was doing something similar, like I love you videos, but he was saying what he did. He was being really honest and truthful with himself in the mirror, but he'd say it in like the sexiest voice. And he's like, you're such a bad boy. You ate an entire bag of potato chips and you have a wrestling match tomorrow. right? He's like, you're so bad, right? And he was just kind of working on like that internal judgment and like flipping it. And like, no, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of how I take in my information. And so, yeah, that came up. And shout out. Yeah, for sure.
I hope it changed back to that, man, you deserved that bag of chips. That right. You loved that bag of chips so much. It was just exactly what your heart needed in the moment. I'm proud of you for eating that bag of chips. You're great. That's what you needed.
Wrestling match.
You know, like whatever it is, spinning it around. Like,
hey, Nick, before we close up, could you see if we have any comments on the stream? Maybe we'll make some shout outs. Yeah, that'd be fun. I think last time we missed it. I haven't set up a system yet where it's easy to like see if people want to talk, but I know we can do a call-in thing eventually.
Brian McLeod, congratulations, Nick. Badass. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate all the love that I always get from all y'all awesome people. Harmony, Richie, David. Oh, man.
Are these all comments?
Yeah,
I love comments. How much.
Oh, wait a minute. No, these are comments. Sorry, those were comments on my self love video. Sorry, disappointed. Okay,
awesome that you get feedback like that, though, on those videos.
We did get a comment. Oh, from a guy that I play poker with. I don't know where you see the. Oh, there you go. Yep, mindset first, progress second.
Yeah,
Asa, appreciate you, Asa. Hope you're doing well, man. I'm probably gonna see you tomorrow at poker.
Cool. Well, this has been another divine episode live from Pune. Make sure to watch out for Nick's book launch on Friday. This Friday, September...
No, that's the 31st. Or no, that's September 1st. That's September 1st.
September 1st. It's called Who Am I by Nicholas Jordan Moore.
Vulnerability equals powerability. Vulnerable. I'm going to be sending links to every person I know. I'm going to be asking everybody to leave a review. Again... I think most of you that are listening to this know that I have very pure intentions and that I'm really trying to make a positive impact on the world, but I cannot do it by myself. The only way that this truly works and the only way that we can truly make a big impact is if y'all help share these kind of things. We're all in it together. We're all walking each other home. We all need help. We all are struggling, and let's lean on each other and let's grow and create a new earth.
And allow the plant allies to support you. Yeah, CapiHawaii.com. CapiHawaii.
Oh, yeah. And big shout out to Nick. In 2 days, big book launch. Like, comment, send an appreciation and maybe an affirmation. You'll see me there on the messages.
Yeah. And if you're interested in investigating more into the creator brand journey, creatorsovereignty.com. Oh, and I also wanted to share, we're turning sovereignstatesofmind.com into a database of articles all about sovereignty.
Nice.
It's really cool. I didn't have this, like, this is it. When you're following your intuition and you're doing it, I didn't realize what this could turn into, but I'm turning every episode into a search engine optimized blog post. I have a search engine, an SEO person already optimizing it all. It's easy to take over it on Google because there's no competition, but people are searching for it. Nice. So like we have this whole database of these conversations and all the different topics, and like it's turning into something really cool, and you can watch it actualize. This is like one of the beautiful results of just deciding to create. So could have said that.
Doing
half
great.
Hour ago.
We're doing great. It's
probably all right. Time. Catch you next week, everyone.
Love you guys.
SovereignStatesOfMind.com.
Y'all have a great week.
Thank you very much for listening. This podcast is available on all major apps. Please head over and follow there. And if you really like it, leaving a quick review and 5 stars is super helpful, especially on Apple Podcasts. SovereignStatesOfMind.com is a place you can put in your email to receive things to your inbox every week. These are updates, these are blog posts, anything related to this podcast and the theme of developing sovereign states of mind, sovereignstatesofmind.com. You can also support the show there by becoming a monthly patron. My name is Jordan Erbs. You can find me on Twitter as Jordan Erbs, JORDANURBS. And I look forward to interacting with you and hearing a bit about your journey. If you're interested in coming on this podcast, don't hesitate to be in touch. Much love. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Sovereign States of Mind.